As you will have gathered, today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And you might reasonably think that Jesus' baptism is the model for the baptism that many of us here have received, the baptism of the church. But in fact, Jesus' baptism is rather different from the baptism that we know. The baptism that Jesus received was the baptism offered by John, as we just heard in our gospel reading, a baptism of repentance. Now, when someone is baptized by the church, that too involves repentance and a turning away from sin, but it isn't quite the same. The baptism that John offered, at least as I read it in the Gospels, was intended to prepare the people of Israel for the coming of the Messiah and the inauguration of God's kingdom among his people. Our baptism baptizes us into the life of Christ, the life of the Messiah. Because Jesus was the Messiah, and he had no sin of which to repent. So why was Jesus baptized? Well, to understand what is happening in Jesus' baptism, I'd like us to think about our reading from Isaiah, where he writes, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench." Jesus' baptism is a sign that he is this servant of God, prophesied by Isaiah. The servant of the Lord, the Messiah, is not someone for whom might makes right. The Messiah does not trample over the weak. He doesn't dismiss the broken or cast aside those whose faith burns only dimly. The Messiah of God is humble and gentle and patient. And more than that, he is obedient to God's will. We see exactly these qualities expressed in the words that Matthew tells us Jesus said to John when John suggested that Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Jesus said, "It is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." He doesn't push John aside and tell him that his ministry is no longer needed. He doesn't say to John, "You're right. I don't really need you." Now, it's true that for his own sake, Jesus did not need to be baptized. But as Messiah, Jesus was more than just himself. He stood for the whole people of Israel. His life and his ministry embodied the life of Israel and fulfilled Israel's calling and purpose as a nation. And so, in humility and obedience, Jesus does what he himself does not need, for the sake of those who do need it. God the Father's response to Jesus' act is to speak those beautiful, moving words, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The church marks the baptism of Jesus in this season of Epiphany, the season that celebrates the various points in his life in which Jesus' true identity was revealed in some way to others. Those tender words spoken by God the Father are more than just words of affection for the Son. They are an epiphany, a moment of revelation. This is who Jesus really is, God's beloved Son. And when Jesus submits to baptism, when he is humble and puts himself on the same level as the people he came to save, God is pleased. And here, perhaps surprisingly, we find the point of similarity between Jesus' baptism and ours. Like Jesus' baptism, our baptism is, or should be, an act of humility and obedience. In baptism, promises are made, notably the promise to submit to Christ, to be obedient to Christ's teaching and calling on our lives. That calling involves being humble, being willing to be alongside others, to be gentle and patient with those who are like a bruised reed or a dimly burning wick, those who are struggling, those who are fearful, those who are lost. Pleasing God then means living up to our baptism promises, embracing humility and being obedient to God. That's not an easy thing to do, especially in our society, which puts so much emphasis on individual achievement and success and on striving for personal fulfillment. But true fulfillment comes not from always pleasing ourselves and thinking we have a right to have our own way at all times and to be happy and entertained. It doesn't come from having power over others. True fulfillment comes from living out our purpose as human beings made in the image of God, to love God and to love our neighbors, to bring good to others and not just ourselves. If loving God and providing for the well-being of others is our goal and motivation for the things that we do, then humility and obedience become not a challenge, but a habit. As we look to Jesus, God's beloved Son, for our example, let us be imitators of him, cultivating the habits of humility, obedience to God, and care for the world he came to save. Amen.